nature against one another. I mean, it sounds something like a war, not dissimilar from the Revolutionary War. In the early days of the colonies, when people gathered here and decided that they wanted independence from England, families were split over that issue. People in the same family, sometimes in the same household, held different opinions about whether to stay loyal to the king or to move towards independence. But we know the story. We know that there were enough people to elect representatives and send them to Philadelphia for the writing of the Declaration of Independence. We know that they declared our independence from Britain. And they knew that there were enough people who believed in that and wanted that, that they were willing to lay down their lives for that particular cause. And because of that, a nation was born. Because of that, we are the United States of America. Because of that conflict, we are our own nation. We are a people. And we are going across the seas to offer to other people, hopefully, that same opportunity to determine their destinies. Hopefully, if we've got to be in war, that's what warfare does. It gives people the right to stand up for themselves. As I read over the lectionary passages for the last couple of weeks, since we had Father's Day and I was away last week, it dawned on me that in this rather long passage that I broke into two parts, from Matthew 9 through chapter 10, that we have Jesus declaring war. He doesn't use those terms, but we use that metaphor figuratively, don't we, in our country? You know, a number of years ago, we declared a war on drugs. Now, unfortunately, I don't think we had enough soldiers to carry through that kind of war. I'm not sure we had enough general support among the population to wage that war successfully. So here, a decade or so later, we still are in the war against drugs. But after September 11th, a war was declared on terrorism. And this nation pulled together and got behind that war. And the stand we're taking in Afghanistan, and I think we took in the Philippines, that we support, that we need to take a stand against terrorism. But to declare a war without sufficient support and without sufficient troops to enforce it is almost crazy. And yet Jesus says in his words, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. He had gone around the area. He had preached about a new kingdom and a new way of living, a new life for everyone. He had compassion upon the people who were sick physically and spiritually, people who were not together as a nation anymore because they had been conquered by the Romans, who had given up some of their identity as a people, who were scattered, as he says, like sheep without a shepherd. And he had compassion upon them. And he declared that the time was right to do something about it. There was plenty of opportunity to hear some good news and a new way of life, but who would carry the message? So he pulled together the 12 apostles, and he sent them out into hostile territory to wage a war against sin, disease, and oppression. He sent out 12 men. But before he sent them out, he gave them their orders. I don't want you to take any money. I don't want you to take any food with you. I don't even want you to take a staff to defend yourself with. Only take the clothes that you have on your back, no extra tunic, no extra pair of sandals. I want you to just go and do what I tell you to do. And I give you the authority to cast out demons and cure diseases and proclaim the message of the kingdom of God. And he told them where he wanted them to fight that battle. In every town and village in Israel. Don't go to the Gentiles. Don't go to the Samaritans. But to the people who should know better, and fight this spiritual war for me. This was not a war of independence. It was a war of absolute dependence on God in Christ Jesus. Trust God and you will be able to do things you have never done before. Trust God and you will have an opportunity to be great. Trust God and you will help establish the kingdom. And he sent them out, as the scripture says, like sheep among wolves. He knew it would be tough. He knew they would go into towns that wouldn't want to hear the good news. He knew they would go into homes that would not want to receive the blessings of God in Christ Jesus. But he said, shake the dust off. Put it behind you and go to the next town. Go to the next house. Do what I've told you to do, and this will bring in the kingdom of God. And when it starts happening, it's going to put brother against brother and sister against brother and mother and father against one another. It's going to create a problem, and indeed it did in the early church. It divided families. It disrupted households because some believed in the power of God in Christ Jesus and some were not willing to believe. Now, I believe that Jesus, down through the centuries, still is declaring war on sin and death and hunger and disease and poverty and injustice in our world. And I believe Jesus is still saying, the harvest is plentiful. There's great opportunities out there to minister and to share the message of the good news. But where are the laborers? Somehow they rose up. Somehow, starting with those 12 men on that first strategic mission in a war against Satan, it began to spread. And new recruits came and were willing to be a part of an army of God that transformed the world. We're here today because people were willing to be a part of that mission. The question for you and I today is not that the security of our nation in the long term is an immediate threat today. We can celebrate our day of independence Thursday. But I'll tell you what, I think there is a very real threat against the Church of God. The day after, the district superintendent called me and asked if I would come here is an interim pastor 16 months ago. I met with other ministers from the Fayetteville and Rockingham district in Rayford, North Carolina, at First Methodist Church Rayford. And our bishop talked to us and challenged us about the future of the church. Bishop Edwards was concerned about our future because he believed unless we transformed ourselves by the power of a mighty God, a lot of churches that exist now would be dead and gone in 25 years. And I hate to say it, I believe we're one of those churches. In Methodism, I mean, in Christianity as a whole in this nation, as Christianity is growing some, the average age in the church is between 25 and 35. In the United Methodist Church, the average age is 65 or older. Junaluska, I heard these words. Many people, 65 and older, aren't interested in the church transforming itself because they'll be dead and gone before the church where they attend dies. The harvest is plentiful. We've got a neighborhood out here of people who don't really know God. They may say they believe in a God. They may have some nebulous idea of a God up there in the sky. They find it hard to believe there's not a God. But it's not a God who knows them. It's not a God who cares about them. It's not a God with whom they have a personal relationship that helps them get through the tough times in life and celebrate the good times. It's a God out there somewhere, and when I come face to face with death, I don't know whether that God's going to do me any good or not. There are people all around this church who, if they have a God, that's what they have. And they're desperate to hear some good news in their lives. They're desperate to hear about a God who can make a difference. They're not going to hear that message unless there's a mighty army of faithful Christians to share that word. We started our program of outreach here, and we had six or seven people willing to come. And I thank God for those six or seven people who walked out here in the neighborhoods, and all we did is go to the door and knock and invite people to church and tell them we were concerned about them if they were home, and if not, leave a door hanger on their door telling about the church. That's all we did. But we only had seven people who were willing to do that. The first time we went out, I think we only had four. Is that right? The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. If we think that the church is the place I go to get my needs met and to comfort me, to get me through the next week, then that kind of church could well be dead 25 years from now. And that's what concerned our bishop. That's what concerned me. That's what challenged me to come back into the pastorate, because you know what? I believe it. I believe. The only churches that are going to be alive are the churches that have a mission. And that they have a group of people who's willing to be virtually an army to serve our Lord and our God. Not just come for their own needs, but to give that others may receive a blessing. That's what Jesus declared over 2,000 years ago, starting with 12 men. The harvest is plentiful, but where are the laborers? I've declared a war on the kingdom of Satan, But where are my soldiers? How can a general win a war without his soldiers? How can we be the church unless we reach beyond these four walls? We don't have to worry about having enough money. We don't have to worry about all kinds of strategy and tactics and logistics that an army nowadays has to rely on. Jesus sent his first little band of soldiers out and said, trust God, and you'll do amazing things. And down through the centuries, he wants us to fight a war of dependence. And that's hard in our society. We've been taught all our lives to be independent. But if we're going to be Christians and the church is to exist 25, 50, 100 years in the future, this church, then we've got to declare a war of dependence, that we're going to be dependent upon God, and we're going to listen to his marching orders. We're going to get out into the community. We're going to make a difference. So this church is vital and alive in the name of Jesus Christ. He'll even give us the words that we need to say. And we will see such wonderful, marvelous things happening in the lives of other people, in our own lives, if we'll realize that is the primary reason we're supposed to gather together as God's people. To share the good news of Jesus Christ. And I guess it's my job to help equip you. And I'm willing to do that. But no general has single-handedly won any war. And no pastor has single-handedly filled a courageous church that lives on past it. I can't do it alone. But by the grace of God, if we're willing to accept the challenge, this church will be here for another 100 years proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Harvest is plentiful. It's the laborers who are few.